Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, there are a lot of details involved in planning a trip, and I think that's especially true right now. And our guest today has been working in the travel industry for over 30 years. Carrie Mulliken is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, with offices in Waterford and Union Grove. Carrie founded the company in 1997. So are you having problems trying to cancel your travel arrangements? Do you need advice planning a trip? We'd love to help. I hope you'll call in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Carrie, welcome to the show. How did you get involved in the travel industry?
Thank you, Larry. I'm thrilled to be a part of today's discussion. Thank you for the invitation.
Sure.
I started back, just wanting to explore the world and realizing that it was a big world to explore, and got an interest in travel shortly out of high school, and went and got a degree in travel and tourism. And that led to some management positions and agencies throughout Wisconsin. And my story is a bit angelic in the fact that one day I had a client come to me and said, you know, really, Carrie, you're too good to do this for anyone else but yourself. Would you like to go into business? So we started an agency in 1997. I had toddlers at home, so it certainly was no small task. But collectively over the years, we grew it to a successful company. And every day we've got a great team of experts here that really get excited about helping our clients embark on beautiful, fabulous vacations.
How has the industry changed since 97?
Considerably. You know, we've really gone through some interesting times with different diseases, swine flu in Mexico, and certainly 9/11 can't be forgotten. And now we're to an area where, you know, the flights are canceled more than we ever even imagined in our worst case scenario models as to what life is like today in the world.
Yeah, for sure. Why should travelers, or talk about why travelers should use you or another travel agent?
Sure. Travel advisors are really your advocate, and especially in times like today where there's so many unanswered questions. You know, we're all embarking on kind of uncharted waters. So it's really important that we give factual information, and the problem is a lot of times those facts change on a day-to-day basis, sometimes hour by hour, so it's incredibly time-consuming. So to work with somebody who has the inside connections, can be strategic about the plans that we put in place to be an advocate and obtain the best refunds, you really need to know the topic. You know, I kind of view travel in some ways as, you could change oil in your car, for example, but you don't necessarily do it. You could potentially clean your own house, but you might hire somebody to do so. You know, we all can do the research online, but it just becomes very overwhelming. And it's an area where you need to have an expert. It's a professional occupation, and just like you have your relationships with your doctors and your lawyers, you need to have a relationship with a travel advisor if you're a traveler.
And how do you pick the one for you, a reputable one for you?
Great, great question. What I suggest is ASTA, which stands for American Society of Travel Advisors, has a site that's travelsense.org, and it's a great resource to go to put in your zip code and find a vetted travel advisor to assist you with your travel plans.
I can remember a trip where there were some things blew up kind of in the middle of flights, and I called my travel agent, who was able to, in pretty quick order, help me out and get me to where I wanted to go.
Absolutely. We hear fabulous stories like that. We help our clients every single day, especially now. You know, we're here before travel in the planning process. We're here during the travel process. You know, we're a phone call away. There's nothing more frustrating than being in a situation where maybe a flight got canceled and you're calling the airlines and you're on hold for hours and hours. It's so much nicer to be able to just call your agent or your advisor and get some solutions before you're even up to the counter as you're standing in line at the airport.
Yeah, for sure. I can remember that very, very well. Ron in Ridgeville Township has a question for you, so let's just go there. Ron, hello.
Sure.
Hey, good morning, Larry and guests. Yeah, I think it's interesting for travel agents nowadays. You know, people love to go online and do their own scheduling, but as soon as times get tough, they need people like you. So thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you.
I do have a question. I'm planning a trip probably early for next year. And, of course, trying to schedule beforehand a lot of times as far as price-wise. But with COVID-19 and its possible resurgence, can you buy a ticket in advance? And do the insurance, like travel insurance, do you suggest that? And do they cover things like pandemics? Or what is a good strategy, to think about as far as trying to schedule an advanced trip?
Sure. Can I ask the destination of your trip? Are you thinking international or more domestic?
Oh, this would be Kauai in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fabulous. Beautiful. Sure. So you'll probably use, one of the airlines such as United, American, Delta, just to name a few. And in this current situation, most often there are different types of airline tickets you can purchase. So you can purchase a non-refundable. You can purchase a non-refundable that allows you to make some changes for a fee, and you can purchase refundable tickets. So you may want to get a cost on each of the three and weigh the pros and the cons. In situations like today, a lot of the airlines have softened their penalties, their non-refundable options, and they will allow you to change a ticket without a fee for a period of time. I would assume, should a pandemic continue, we would start to see softening rules in the future as we do now. And again, someone to explain those differences, because they can sometimes be a little confusing online, contact a travel advisor. They're worth their weight in gold in terms of knowledge purchase, prior to purchase, as well as if something needs to change prior to departure, that they're there for you to do so. Mm-hmm. In terms of travel insurance, just to kind of answer that question, there are some travel policies. We work with a few different ones. One in particular is Travel Guard. They happen to be located in Wisconsin, Stevens Point. They're a great operator to work with, one of many. And they do offer covered reasons, and so maybe pandemic isn't covered, but maybe canceling for a work-related reason is a covered reason, or obviously illness or sickness prior to departure. So you'd want to read the fine print of those insurance policies, and again, that's when an advisor can give you the pros and cons of the different policy choices. There's also tour operators that you can package with a car or a hotel and get a policy that allows you cancel for any reason. There's no claims process that you need to go through. It's a matter of you just don't want to take the trip, regardless of the reason, and then you get full money back less the cost of the insurance. There's a lot of choices that you can think about strategically, not knowing what the future holds.
Yeah, so do a little comparison there. Thank you, Ron, for calling. Appreciate it. Karen in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. We have a trip for our family of nine to go to Hawaii, and we are scheduled to leave June 26th. We are working with our travel agent, and at this point, we are probably going to cancel that trip because there's too many unknowns, especially with Hawaii, which is actually paying people to go back home and not even step on the island. So I'm wondering, as a family trying to think about rescheduling this, a second opinion would be good as to what about rescheduling, and what would you think about rescheduling to, like, just August 1st and get this in while the pandemic is kind of ebbing and Hawaii might be back open. We aren't going, of course, if it's not fully open. But we have kids headed off to school within the family. So what would you think?
Karen, I'm sorry that you're in a position that you have to think about even changing those plans. But, you know, we all hope that travel gets back up and running again as soon as possible. But in my opinion, it's really not going to get to that place until people feel safe again traveling. You're starting to see on the evening news, you know, plans that different cruise lines and airlines are putting in place where maybe they'll require masks to be worn, scarves around faces. You know, they're in the process of putting that plan together and what that looks like now as they bring back flights. You know, keeping in mind that, you know, there's a million flights that have been canceled, and that involves 150 million people. So it's a lot of passengers to reschedule. You know, I think it's wise that you do look at rescheduling at a time that's comfortable for you and just be sure that you have the insurance on your new package to help in case something happens. Because I think as time goes on and those 150 million people choose to reschedule, in the months to come, year to come, availability will be an issue. And, you know, with a larger group that size, you're going to want to make sure that you can secure those travel plans the way you originally had them.
Karen, does that help?
That helps. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate
your
call.
You're welcome, Karen. Good luck.
You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Vern, I called, couldn't stay online, but he thinks airlines will be shut down for a couple of years. He thinks Boeing is especially in a lot of trouble. What are your thoughts about airline ability to stay going?
Well, as I mentioned, a lot of the flights have truly been canceled, but, you know, and I think that it will be a very scaled introduction to travel again. Obviously, the world as a whole are at different places with COVID-19. Some are, you know, on the verge of recovering. Some are just starting to be affected by it. So I think destination will play a huge factor in that. But to think that air travel would be halted for, you know, more than a year is incredibly sad. You know, there's a lot of countries, islands in the Caribbean, for example, that their main source of income is tourism. So I can't imagine that those hotels can stay closed for 9 months to, 12 months and be able to still be in a good financial position. So I'm going to hope that that's just kind of a long-term worst-case scenario, and we're going to hope for the best-case scenario.
Let's take another call. Peggy and Hilbert, it's your turn, Peggy. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a little bit of a complicated situation going on. In January, I have a son and daughter-in-law who are living in Norway, and myself, my husband, and a grandson we're going to be going over to Norway in June from the 11th to the 21st. And I have a couple of things. First of all, I'm not sure. I have travel insurance, but I'm not sure who I contact first about the situation, the airline about the tickets or the travel insurance company about just canceling the trip right now.
So my recommendation would be to contact the airline first. You know, there's a very, I mentioned it earlier, there's a bit of a strategic approach to how we're giving advice to our current booked clients, and the fact that the your abilities for refunds change very much based on whether you're the person canceling as the traveler or whether it's the airline that has canceled the flight. In a lot of situations where the airlines have, you know, perhaps your flight is one of the affected million flights that are being canceled, that could propel a potential refund for you. And if that's the scenario, then maybe you aren't going to need to put a claim into the insurance, and maybe you can get that insurance premium reissued to count towards your next future trip when you're able to reschedule. So that would be, you know, maybe one scenario, and then the other scenario. And you can wait on that. I mean, time, you don't have to make those decisions today for a June flight to Norway. You can, you know, maybe make that decision as you get closer and they start to look at the travel schedule for that time frame. The other option is for many airlines, they have waivers in place that allow you to cancel your trip today and receive a voucher that's valid for 24 months without having to pay any change fees. So that would maybe be scenario two. And then scenario three, of course, would be, you know, looking at that insurance policy and seeing if it would cover based on your reason for cancellation.
I have another question that is another complicating. The most complicating thing is that my grandson is traveling internationally for the first time, and we applied for his passport, and it does not appear that he's going to get his passport. They're evidently put a hold on issuing passports for anything but essential travel, and so how does that affect him on our ticket?
Without a valid passport, I'm afraid, you know, he certainly would not be able to travel, Peggy. But, you know, previously to COVID-19, you could, for an emergency type situation where you didn't receive the passport, you could appear in person at one of the passport authorities. There happens to be one in Chicago. I don't know if they're accepting applicants at this time, however, though. So that would be something that maybe would be monitored as maybe, you know, I'm not sure your location, but maybe as Illinois your lifts their safer at home orders, maybe something would transpire between now and, you know, June. You've got a bit of time, or even August, if that's when you decide to, you know, change your vacation to be.
I was just thinking, as you were talking, Carrie, I was thinking about my own first passport. Something came up with a job opportunity, sort of a side thing as part of my professorial duties, and I had to go to Chicago to get my passport and was able to do that. But, of course, it wasn't during a pandemic, and I was able to do it in one day, in a few hours, actually. So it can work, but Peggy, you've got a lot of things to think about there. Thank you so much for calling. Carrie Mulliken is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts, offices in Waterford and Union Grove. It's great to have her with us as we talk about the state of travel. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Jane Rotunda, our on-air producer, and Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the state of travel today with Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage Travel Experts, Waterford and Union Grove offices. She's been in business since 1997, knows an awful lot about travel. It's great to have her with us. Questions, you can call in at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Richard in Madison up next with a question. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you both?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. Certainly. I had a question in regards to, I recently received a refund from Lufthansa. It was a code share thing with United, and I had a year to use it. And now suddenly, of course, with all these travel restrictions, you know, that year may pass. Does that just expire? And what I was kind of curious about was whether or not there were any regulations that govern that type of thing first. And then the second question is in regards to, we had purchased one of these travel things where you get multiple locations. I think it was somewhat related to a timeshare type thing. But, of course, again, same situation. You can't travel. Everything's closed. That time period expires. Is there recourse? Are there regulations that govern that type of thing? And I can take my ass off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Carrie, what do you think? A couple of questions there.
Yes, Richard. Thank you. So in regards to the expiration of your current unused ticket, a lot of the airlines are offering, again, waivers in place to be able to extend those expiration dates. So I would just definitely suggest reaching out to the airline that issued that ticket, I think you mentioned United, and just discuss that. A lot of the extensions are being granted for a 24-month period of time. So you just want to make sure that you get that confirmed with the air carrier, but there's good hope for that. In terms of the timeshare, unfortunately, you know, we're not versed in timeshare because that's not our area of expertise. So I think I would reach out to the timeshare provider. Part of the answer to that may depend very much on where that timeshare's corporate or head offices are located. Obviously, you know, if they're in the United States, they may abide by some rules in the United States, but perhaps you bought that in Mexico or something, they're going to be held accountable to whatever the laws are in that country. So good luck with that one. I'm sorry I can't be of more help there.
Thanks very much for calling. You know, I had a flight to Canada sort of the end of May, and I was holding off on asking for a refund. Of course, we can't even get into Canada. I just got an email yesterday from Delta saying that they were canceling the trip. And so I'm getting something on my wallet that'll allow me to have a credit for 2 years, as you've been saying, which is good. Would that have been different if I had called them first before they canceled? Might that have been different?
It can be. Absolutely. So a couple different thoughts to consider there. If they've canceled the flight, generally they have to provide you with either your choice of refund or travel credit. If you chose to make the change, it would very much depend on your month of travel. So when all of this first started, say end of March, you know, maybe they were offering waivers for passengers that had flights scheduled in April or May. A lot of those have now been extended out into September. So you really, again, you know, as I've mentioned previously, those rules are constantly evolving. One of the ways to maybe get the freshest bit of information would be just go to the airline's website, and generally at the very top of those websites, they've got a link that talks about their current arrangements. If you checked it a month ago on a flight that's coming up, maybe check it again, because likely it's changed.
Yeah, that makes some sense. And do you think in a situation like this, say, I frankly don't mind the e-credit, but if I had wanted my money back, would I be able to say, hey, wait a minute, I'd rather have my money right now than that e-credit? Does that ever work?
In a situation, it does work, and we've been very successful with helping clients obtain refunds. It really depends on whether, again, the airline has canceled the flight or whether the consumer canceled the flight. And sometimes it depends on the airline. I know for a while there, Lufthansa was saying on international flights that maybe you were eligible for a refund, but they weren't actually issuing refunds at that time. That's not to say that they won't in the future, but you're kind of put in a queue at that point, that when they were starting to issue refunds, that maybe you then would be able to get that refund. On the topic of refunds, I'd just like to say, you know, we all know it's frustrating when you're waiting for a refund. It always seems that the charge always goes through much faster than the refund goes through. Do allow 60 to 90 days. That's really what we're seeing throughout the industry. And I also would like to touch, if you don't mind, a lot of tour operators are offering future travel credits. And I just want to share with the audience a bit of the pros and cons to accepting a future travel credit. Would that be okay, Larry?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so future travel credits are a lot of times being offered in situations where maybe the vendor can't financially give refunds. When you think of the airlines and you think of 150 million passengers on those flights in, you know, matter of 3 months all asking for their money back, it's just not feasible to maintain the strength of that tour operator or airline. So in some situations, they're kind of staging those. And some are even giving perks saying, you know, we would give you 100% of your money back perhaps, or we'll give you 125% in a future travel credit, because they're incentivizing the consumer to say, I feel comfortable you hanging on to that money, and as a reward, we're going to give you a 25% bonus. And I'm finding that to be really helpful for a lot of my family travelers, that they've just gotten a bonus of 25% more in their travel spending when they rebook. So that can be very positive. In terms of accepting a travel credit, however, you want to make sure of a few things. A, the viability that you're going to be able to travel during that time frame, but then also B, the viability of the company in which you've accepted the credit for being in business at the time that you accept the credit. Because, you know, obviously if you're accepting a credit and that tour operator or airline or something goes out of business, so does your credit. So just, you know, do pay attention, do some research. I'm a proponent of travel credits. I think they'll keep our industry healthy and will give some extra incentive to travel again when the time is right. But just make sure you've done a bit of homework on that.
Kind of reminds me of when you're at the airport and the person says, well, we're overbooked here and you can get 25% or something free if you will agree to take the next flight instead.
Correct. Exactly. Those can be very rewarding sometimes if you don't require, you know, immediate travel.
Jeff in Superior, it's your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Yes. Hi, Larry. I want to say, I do have a question, but I want to point out right now, you've got to come up here to Bayfield County and see your place. It's beautiful up here right now. We got a bright sunny day. I'm watching a robin, Wisconsin state bird, hopping around in the grass feeding this morning. It's so serene. I'm having a Wisconsin moment.
Well, good.
Yeah, you got to come up to your place here. So my question today is regarding Canada. I was glad that you mentioned that earlier because I want to take a trip to see Niagara Falls. I want to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, but I'm going to drive. I got a new car. So I'm going to drive across like northern Michigan. I want to go across Ontario and get to Niagara Falls that way. And I wonder if the guest, if she can tell me any recommendations about the Niagara Falls area, and then I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
And I'm wondering, can we even get into, isn't there an agreement now where we can't go into Canada and they can't come here, or am I mistaken on that?
Larry, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, the borders are currently closed. I think at the moment they're closed for the next 30 days, and then we'll see and kind of evaluate where we stand after that. So that's a beautiful trip. I've been to Niagara Falls previously, absolutely well worth going to. And I think as travel does start to loosen up a bit, we might see more car travel for a while. You know, there's a lot of beautiful places in the United States to visit that you can drive to. So you know, I'm excited to hear that you've got some plans to travel via car. But, Jeff, I think you're just going to have to watch the timing on that to make sure that, you know, it's one thing to go to a destination. You know, we talk about the beaches in Florida, some of them being open, but maybe what the traveler may not understand is maybe the beach is open only for you to walk on. You can't lay a beach towel. You can't drive to the beach. You have to be able to walk to the beach. The parking lots are closed in some areas. So you want to make sure that when you travel that you get the experience that you had envisioned.
Yeah. And are there, you know, obviously if you go to Niagara Falls to see Niagara Falls, Jeff was wondering what else around there is good to see.
Sure. Well, there's some great sightseeing in terms of, you know, some aerial sightseeing you can do. The Maid of the Mist is always fun. You know, you put your little poncho on and you'll be able to go on a boat and, you know, see Niagara Falls from the water level. That's always fun. In terms of casinos, if you're a gambler, there's a few casinos there. So there's lots to keep you busy for a couple of days.
Okay. Let's go to Joe and Stevens Point. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, I just might be getting laid off for a little bit. I'm thinking about taking a ride to Cleveland, Ohio on Amtrak. I wonder if anything's changed with Amtrak.
Sure. I do have some Amtrak clients that are booked, and certainly there was some areas in which that were affected here right in the beginning, but as you move towards end of summer, beginning of fall, at least the reservations that I have with them have been unaffected. So that is a great trip to look forward to. Some great, beautiful sightseeing along the way.
But right now, would it be an issue if he, say, was thinking about leaving in a week or two?
I think the question would be more, you know, if it's a matter of visiting family, Joe, you know, whether that's safe to do, or if you're looking at visiting, you know, different attractions, the likelihood that those would be open would be pretty minimal.
Okay, there we go. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it. Ed in Lodi, we'll go to you now. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Don't want to beat this cancellation trip to death, but maybe I could share experience and get some direction, too. My daughter and my wife, three of us, are going to go visit our grandson in Denmark. anyhow, with the virus coming up, I canceled the trip. And one thing with the overseas airline out of O'Hare with SAS, Scandinavian Air, anyhow, I got about $250 back refund out of $1,725. And they basically gave just partial refund only. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that. I did use a tour operator to book some trips and things like that overseas, too. And essentially, they offered a one-year voucher. Or if I cancel the trip, then we don't have plans to go then. They had in the clause, you get 50% refund if they cancel within 15 to 30 days. And last thing is we've got travel insurance, which I thought, well, okay, I'll see what I can get a refund and then file the claim. Well, the travel insurance basically has a clause saying that because of the virus, they don't cover insurance on that basis. So any thoughts on all those points?
Ed, when were you scheduled to take that trip?
April 9 to 19.
Of this year, of 2020?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of the insurance, I kind of look at it as insurance policies don't cover the fear of traveling. There's got to be a reason why that's being canceled. You may want to go back and speak with SAS Direct and see if those flights even took off. You might have a little bit of recourse if SAS ended up canceling those flights, because from what I gathered in your conversation, it was your choice to cancel. But at the time, the flights were still valid flights. Did I understand that correctly?
Correct. I canceled. Yeah, I canceled. I think it was... We were supposed to go in April, and then I canceled in first part of March.
Sure. And that's, you know, I referenced a little bit earlier about, you know, how we on a daily basis in some ways we're almost playing a game of chess. We're analyzing, you know, the pros and cons of each one of our moves to make sure that we're maximizing for the client. In this particular scenario, sometimes it behooves you to wait because, again, the rules change every day. I think your best position right now would be to consider going and having a conversation again with SAS and asking them if those flights truly departed as you originally had them scheduled. A lot of times airlines will offer refunds in situations where they have a schedule change, even if they didn't cancel the flight, but they've had a schedule change that's in excess of an hour of your arrival or your departure scheduled times. So that could benefit you. Maybe they won't give you back additional refund, but perhaps you can work out an arrangement with a travel credit that you could use for maybe an extended period of time.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip. Ed, thank you very much for calling. Let's go to Kay and Racine. Kay, hello.
Hi. I have a question on future travel. I know that airlines must be reeling right now and not in a very good mood. I would like to positively support them. Would it be ridiculous to try and even think of making tentative plans for a year from now, and what are my recourses there? I have a bucket list wish to drive a motorcycle, ride a motorcycle on the Isle of Man.
Well, that sounds like a pretty cool wish. What do you think, Carrie?
That's a great adventure, and I would encourage you to dream of that. You know, travel matters. We're in a world where travel is the one thing that is incredibly rewarding. I think it's always positive to have something to look forward to. So I would encourage you to look at that. Again, just be sure that you're looking at the insurance options. So if we're not, you know, something redevelops here, you know, you're not penalized for having to cancel. But absolutely, I would highly encourage you to continue to dream and plan and put those plans in motion for something a year from now.
Kay, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Scott in New Berlin, it's your turn. Hi, Scott.
Yes, hello, Larry.
Hi.
My wife and I are planning a trip. We already bought plane tickets, unfortunately, and paid half the money to go on a backpacking trip with our daughter and her boyfriend in Lassen Volcano National Park in Northern California, middle of June. And unfortunately, I already bought the plane tickets. And of course, they're flights a lot cheaper now. But I don't know if the California governor, he just closed the beaches yesterday or today, and the national park is closed. I don't know when they're going to open it. The tour company says, oh, yeah, we'll give you a refund or you know, you can credit for something later and whatever. But I don't know. Do you think it's even safe to just keep, because we got 30 days out, which is May 15th. We've got to make a final decision. And just my wife says we should probably just cancel everything and whatever. So I just thought to get some opinions.
Okay.
Sure, Scott. You know, I think June may be a little premature, I hate to say. I definitely, if your cancellation period is exercised at 30 days prior and you've got another 2 weeks to wait that out, I think I would definitely encourage you to wait it out, providing your penalty doesn't change as you get a little closer. Just to see where California is at that time. I had a conversation with a good friend the other day living in California, and they're very much similar to what we have in Wisconsin right now. So, you know, it's really difficult to say whether that would be lifted to a place where you'd be able to fully enjoy your trip in 45 days.
So kind of wait it out until just before to see if the tickets get, or if the flight gets canceled.
Exactly. Right.
Is what you're saying.
And some of them, you know, depending on your airline, Southwest is a big, you know, airline here out of the Milwaukee area, lots of Wisconsin. And, you know, they are great at changing, allowing you to change your tickets for future travel and not allowing, you know, not requiring you to pick those dates now, but to give you a voucher for future. So, and a lot of those are valid through September of 2021. So, you know, depending on who your airline is, that might be an option, too.
Yeah, I love Southwest. We've had to make changes in tickets, a day or two before, and we're able to do that without any penalty, which is not like most of the other airlines, for sure.
Right.
Laura in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just wanted to let you guys know I'm actually a hospitality professional. We in the hotels are highly encouraging people to book a year out. I know there was a guest that was previously on that was wondering whether she should book that awesome trip that she was planning. Please book it. We would love to host you guys and bring you to our area. We obviously know that now is not the time to be doing that kind of stuff, and we understand that, but we would love to have you book a year out.
Oh, Laura, thanks so much. Carrie, you're agreeing with that, Carrie.
100%. Yeah, I think you just have to be very educated. Use the advice of a travel advisor professional to give you some guidance in areas that you might not feel comfortable with.
Well, it's obvious to me that you are very educated, Carrie, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope we have a chance to do this again. Will you come back sometime and be with us?
I would love that. And I would love to talk about, you know, fun, exciting places to go when the pandemic is over.
And your website is, bvworldtravel.com?
Bvworldtravel.com. That is correct.
All right. Well, Carrie, again, thank you so much. And we'll look forward to another visit from you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Carrie Mulliken is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts. She has offices in Waterford and Union Grove. And again, her website is bvworldtravel.com. And if you talk with her or another travel agent about traveling, you may want to, and you do go, you might want to maybe do a little journaling about your trip while you're on it. Oh, my goodness. Documenting your experience. That's the thing. Jerry Apps is going to be up next to talk with us about doing just that, documenting your experience. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.